Hey, it's Morgan Absher.
And I'm Kaylin Moore.
And we're the hosts of the Crime House original podcast, Clues.
Every Wednesday, we sneak past the crime scene tape and open a new case file for some of the most gripping true crime cases.
Follow and listen to Clues, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk.
What do girls want anyway?
Well, apparently not total losers.
We're pretty good at basketball.
Yeah, as long as we don't have to run or jump or dribble or nothing.
Isaac Rob.
Hey, you guys up for a little game?
Sure.
Well, let's make it interesting. Say $20.
How about 50?
You're on.
Jason Sukanik.
Dude, we don't have 50 bucks. We don't have 20.
This is Prime Time on the Fan Sports Network.
What the hell's up with that? We win, and they get the chips. That sucks, dude.
105.1 and 1080.
Dude, I'm telling you, it's jobs. We gotta get jobs. Then we get the khakis. Then we get the chicks.
The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Ahoy!
What's up? Good Thursday. I just realized something, and yeah. I think you did too.
Yeah, in real time, we both had it.
Dude, so this is the third day?
Third day.
Correct.
1, 2, 3. Yeah. Because we switched Tuesday. We didn't switch. Monday was the announcement.
Yeah.
And then Tuesday was the flip. So today being Thursday, by that Kansas BYU math that we have, 1, 2, 3.
So this is our third day on 105.1 FM.
Yeah. The Fan Sports
Network. The Fan
Network.
Global Sports
Global.
Network.
Is it really global?
No. Well, actually.
I mean, you could.
It's always been global because.
Yeah, that one dude from like, what is it? Wasn't there some
Guam.
Guy from Norway?
Well, we had a guy in Guam that
Yeah,
liked
we had the
show.
Guam guy. No, we had the weird guy in like Norway. I don't want to say weird, but remember he sent us the.
Why do you say weird?
I don't know. That was unfair.
The Norwegian guy?
Yeah, I remember he sent us
the. He was a ham radio guy.
Yeah, he sent us the Christmas card and his little.
That was
his,
a long time.
His little corgis. Nick, he still listens?
Well, he was getting. No, I don't. He was getting signals via like aliens.
Yeah, he was like going over the poles.
This was before apps.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And streaming.
Yeah, he was a ham radio guy, and he just wanted to see, like, what he could get. And so he got our station in Norway and, like, sent us a Christmas card.
Well, he sent us a letter trying to confirm that it was our station.
Yeah, I was like, hey, that's
he
us.
He suspected that it was us, but he didn't know. And then Jeff wrote him back saying, that was us.
Dude, those ham radio operators,
Dude, those guys are animals.
It's a different breed.
Could you imagine partying with those guys?
Well, when I was in
I can't handle it.
When I was in the Mormon church... They're big into the ham radio because, you know, end of days sort of thing.
Yeah.
So I think they believe, like, there's always one in, like, every, building that's, like, his gig. And then he tries to rope others in because they, like, believe that when, like, the rapture happens, like, we'll all communicate via ham radios. And let me tell you, in all my years growing up in that church, I want to be fair.
Let's do.
I'm sure some of them were very, very nice people.
Yeah.
But if we lined everyone up and we just gave like a, to tell the truth, you know, we had to, that old game show where it would like you would have three people line up and only one of them was telling the truth about who they are. You could pick out the ham radio operator in about 4 seconds. Like it is right out of central casting. Whoever you in your mind is picturing as a doomsday Mormon ham radio operator, it's him.
Yeah, well, I mean,
it's him.
But Mormons have, you know, to be.
You'd be careful.
Well, I know. I don't think it's bad to say that Mormons they have a look like the blonde hair, blue eyed.
No,
they do.
Well, that's true, but that's not who the ham radio operator.
So what I'm saying is, there's two different things. If you lined up three people, and one of them just three random people, and one of them was a ham radio operator. And then the other scenario is you lined up three Mormons and one of them is a ham radio operator.
Yeah.
I wonder which one's easier to
I think
pick him out.
I think they all look the same.
See, I'm guessing the second scenario, it's easier to pick out the ham radio guy because Mormons do have a certain look.
Sure.
And I'm guessing, like you said, that guy does not.
No.
Maybe it doesn't fit that profile.
And Bruce, you're out there. You're a wonderful individual, but like, you know. And he knew. He knew.
The
like,
Spruce Bruce.
The Spruce Bruce. Bruce was big into the ham radio.
So anyway.
One of those guys.
By the way, somebody on the YouTube is listening from Australia right now.
Oh, cool.
It is the global network.
What time is it over there?
I don't know, but he says, g'day, lads.
Oh.
G'day. Have a blooming onion, mate.
You just have a Foster's, perhaps, and throw another shrimp on the Bobby.
Go box a kangaroo, mate.
I think that's
am I all right?
I think that's more. I think you're doing more of a British Cockney. Am I all right? There you go. That's a little more Australian.
Well, anyway, so it's day three of our big flip to the Fan Global Sports Network.
Yeah,
which indeed we've just confirmed is global.
And by the way, it's about. Oh, never mind. That's Austria.
Okay.
I thought I was looking up Australian
learn
time.
How to type.
And it says 7:34 a.m.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Good. We're they got a half show. Hour? They got did a half
you,
hour in there?
Did you know we're a morning show in Australia?
Did you know that they had half hour time zones in Australia?
Do they? Well, yeah, that's a little
If you
odd.
Said it's 7:34, it should be, I would think 7:04 or 8:04, but not 7:34.
My mind is blown what? Right now. I don't know what
that's
you're
not a
this.
Thing.
Half hour time codes or time zones. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I just learned on day three that Buckley does not do an update before the start of our program.
Yeah. I figured that we were both like, hey, is this a little soon? And then we asked, hey, yeah. Buck, did...
We weren't ready to go on today.
No.
We are still technically going on at 3 o'clock. It's just that at 3 o'clock, it's not me giving you an update. It's you guys starting the show. Or it's our open starting the show.
Well, that felt rushed.
Yeah.
I wasn't ready for the curtains to open for our performance.
And yeah, by the way, it is true. I'm looking at the times right now in Australia. And they do. There's one in Adelaide that is... He must be in the Adelaide time zone because it's 7:35.
Yep, he's just said half hour behind the East Coast here in Adelaide. It's real.
Boy, I didn't know that.
Me neither.
We've learned two things already. 6 minutes in, we've learned two things.
Dude, my mind, between this and Hulk Hogan dying, I don't
Yeah.
I don't know what to make of today. It's off to a rocky start. Half hour time zones.
Yeah, that seems confusing.
It does seem very confusing.
Why would you do that?
I don't know.
What are you doing out there?
I don't know. What's happening? Well, everything in Australia is trying to kill you, so maybe they're just dealing with a lot.
Yeah, he says primetime is his mental escape from the daily battle against spiders, snakes, and the occasional dingo.
I'm telling you. I love Australia. I want to go to Australia, but I swear to God, every time I see one of those shows about it, something's trying to kill you.
This is David. Shout out, David.
What's up, Dave?
What's up, D?
Yeah.
So are dingoes...
They're just dogs.
I understand what a dingo is. Are dingoes, are they kind of like coyotes in that you don't really, like if you have them, you just don't really,
no,
if they're around, you've gotten used to them and you don't really care about them.
I'm pretty certain that it's just their coyote. There's
is
nothing.
It? Yeah, is there an overlap with hyenas and dingoes or no?
No, dude, whoa, hyenas
no,
are
hyenas
like
hyenas are nasty.
Are dingoes like street dogs? Like
no, they're it's a no, wild no, no. dog. It's like a coyote.
It's not a street dog.
It's a species dingo. I thought it was like a mixed breed species or something.
I don't think so. I think a dingo is so a hyena is its own thing, and you are not to mess with hyenas.
No, and they're big, and they can bite through just about anything.
They will bite.
A dingo is just a wild native dog to Australia.
Yeah, okay. It's a coyote.
Yeah, they're wild dogs. They're not street dogs.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, and yeah, they're just they're.
Although they've probably humped some street dogs,
oh,
don't
I'm
you
sure
think?
They, yeah,
medium-sized canine that possesses a lean, hardy body.
Yeah, dude, you can like punt a dingo or a coyote.
Yeah, see, the dingo you wouldn't be too afraid of.
Get out of here!
It's like the coyote, but but the hyena.
Yeah, you ever seen a photo of a hyena next to a person? Ooh. Like every now and then, you see one of those photos of like one of the African warlords, and they'll like have a hyena as a pet on like a chain, and when you see it compared to the size of a person, you're like, ho. Because I think the only thing we know hyenas from is like the Lion King. And like they're like those morons that can't do anything and they just run around. But in real life, hyenas are not, you don't mess with them.
Do they live outside of Africa?
I don't think so.
Like do you have them up in Vancouver?
No.
Running around?
No, we do not. I'm pretty sure if you had a hyena, we would be aware of it. No, I think those are exclusively Africa or maybe into like some Central Asia, but no. Yeah, those things can go over.
That's correct. Africa and parts of Asia.
Yeah, look at me. Those things can go over like 200 pounds. I watch a lot of the
Middle East too, it says.
I watch a lot of the David Attenborough stuff. I can't
the
get
the striped hyena is found outside of Africa, inhabiting parts of Asia and the Middle East, specifically Central Asia and the Indian subcontinent.
Yeah. And you don't want anything to do with
it. And then they start you know what's wild about them?
Hmm.
Not only do they rip your face off, they will laugh.
Yeah.
While doing it.
Yeah, they got that weird little chuckle. And then in all the nature documentaries, they're always portrayed as a bunch of bastards. Because they're always like teaming up on some sort of sick, weak animal, or they're trying to steal some little calf away from somebody.
Well, they can't really hang with the big cats like the lions and the tigers of the world.
I feel like the hyena gets like a bum rap because it's just It's just doing what it needs to do to survive.
Pretty underrated animal.
Yeah. So, like, you watch one and they'll be like a lion. And then, like, 12 hyenas are teaming up on it to try to take it down. And the David Attenborough types always make it seem like the lion is the noble one. Well, what do you want the hyena to do? To starve? One hyena can't take down an even an old sick lion. So they team up and they go do hyena stuff. And I just feel like they get a... They're just doing what the only thing they can do to survive, and I feel like it gets a bad rap. Probably because they're not as majestic and as cute or just like regal as the other big cats.
Those things are ugly.
Yeah, they're not attractive. They're like the possum of that world. Because I don't think it's like, I don't know if it's a more dog or cat, but...
Whoa,
yeah.
Some paleontologists believe that competition by cave hyenas in Siberia was a significant factor in delaying human colonization of Alaska.
Oh, because we...
Hyenas kept people out.
Yeah.
Because we were scared of them, or they would just eat us?
Well, traveling through Siberia over to Alaska, the hyenas were too much of a danger.
Dude, top of the food chain hyenas. Yeah. Let's go.
Well, I'm guessing back in the day, the ancient hyena was giant, because everything back then was way bigger.
I'm going to get a hyena.
I don't think you are.
Be good for my brand. Throw a saddle on that bad boy.
In 1960, there was an attempted coup in Sudan, and they said that the hyenas feasted on humans for weeks. Mm.
Damn, dude.
There you go. Who knew?
There you go, Jason.
You tune into this program and you never know what you're going to get.
Rufio's called it the Fan Global Educational Network. One of our YouTubers has called us not just the Fan Global Network, the Fan Global Educational Network.
You learn something.
Yeah, that's right, Rufio. Yeah.
Or you get dumber, depending. But either way, you're going to get an education.
Well, guys, for the second time this week, we have to start our show with a notable death.
Yeah. Well, actually, this is the third notable death.
Yeah, but Theo was not a headline death.
Yeah.
Ozzy was.
Yeah.
And the Hulkster is. Mm-hmm. These are headline deaths, particularly for us Gen Xers. You know, it is a tough week for Gen X.
I'll tell you right now, 10-year-old me is devastated.
Right.
If you would have taken 10-year-old Jason Sukanik, if you could have got his little fat butt away from like the chicken nuggies and DuckTales that he was watching.
And the soda. Don't forget the soda.
The Coke. Yeah. My mom being like, you eat your nuggets so you can't have dinner. I would come home and there'd be a McNugget meal waiting for an after dinner snack.
Are you serious?
Oh, 100%.
Eat your nuggets or you can't have dinner?
Yes.
In other words, nuggets were just like a...
Your mom invented the fourth meal ahead of Taco Bell.
I would come home from school, and you wonder why I was a little fat kid. I would come home from school, and you get home at like what, 2:45, 3 o'clock-ish? Just in time for the Disney afternoon. And there would literally be like a 9-piece McNugget meal, fries and Coke waiting for me. Or we'd stop by McDonald's. And then the old man, one Robert Brown, he would get home at like 5:15. And let me tell you something. Dinner was on the table. When Big Bobby rolled through the door, it was time to eat. So like I would have, and I thought nothing of it. Lunch at like noon, McDonald's at like 3, dinner 5:15. And then we wonder maybe why there was a little bit of a weight problem happening in my household. Mm. But if you polled 10-year-old me on the greatest like people on earth, certainly the greatest Americans, I'm telling you, Hulk Hogan, he's on the medal stand. And that was a big deal. The Hulkster and wrestling, big deal for me.
All right, well, let's talk about it, okay? I would play some drops here, but do we know that the drop board isn't working?
I had no idea. It was working yesterday, right?
Has anybody reported that?
Well, did you report
that? I thought we fixed that yesterday.
Well, they tried, and now it's not.
Mm.
It's if something's missing on today's show, it's that.
It's that.
Just warning you. Let's talk about the death of
Oh no!
Hulk Hogan. And we have audio.
It could be some
not of the death.
Oh, well, is there Hogan? Because some of the Hogan audio is problematic.
Cardiac arrest.
Yeah.
Oh, he had a heart attack.
Yeah. Are we going to just get him dropping a bunch of N-bombs or?
No. Come on, dude.
But he did that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he did that. Very complex.
No, not really. He's a terrible person.
No, a complicated legacy, though.
Yeah, complicated legacy. He was by all accounts, dude was a horrible person.
Bad dude, great everybody. Wrestler.
Bad dude. All right, let's talk about it next.
He
okay.
Was great.
Ah, let's talk about it next. On the Fan.
Again, 10-year-old me right now, losing my ass.
I have big news.
We do.
Before we get to the death of Hulk Hogan.
Okay.
Configure hotkey widgets.
Mm-hmm.
We did it.
We're back. We're hot. We're on.
We have drops.
It's not the same without them.
No, it really isn't.
A lot of people saying Sacred Heart has diarrhea.
See what I mean?
There you go.
So the Hulkster is dead.
Yeah.
He was 71. He had a heart attack, according to Suk and Buck.
And yet somehow Ric Flair still lives.
I know.
Yeah, it just makes no sense.
I'm a little happy about the... Because, okay, so Hulk was... Like, everybody... Because wrestling has just had so many different iterations.
But he is the reason why wrestling is big.
But you and I lived through the Hulk years. Yes. Like, that was our peak wrestling...
Yeah. Yeah, the 80s.
Yeah, the 80s.
Yeah.
Now, I do want to mention that because it turns out that... what's his name? Terry Bollea?
Yes.
Was such a bad guy.
Of the worst kind.
Because he was such a bad guy.
Yeah.
Because I have to separate. This is a bit like the Michael Jackson conversation.
Yeah.
I have to separate Hulk Hogan from Terry Bollea. Yeah.
The art from the artist.
Yeah.
And that's right.
Yeah.
And so I just want to state, before we get going here, that I am really happy that the Boogie Woogie Man, Jimmy Valiant, outlived Hulk Hogan. That makes me happy because the Boogie Woogie Man, that was my guy after the Hulkster. And I'm happy because he was an old guy then.
Sure.
He still lives. He is still with us, and the world deserves that.
The idea that he made it to 71 with every chemical that's flowing through that guy's body and all the abuse, like... For a wrestler to live to 71, I think this is the equivalent of like Rop living to 116. Like, wrestlers don't get to live to 71. So the fact that he even made it that far.
Well, Ric Flair, how old's Ric Flair?
I don't. Ric Flair, he may be the Keith Richards. Ric Flair should have been dead in 1978.
He's 76.
Or, okay, he should have been dead in 76. Instead, he's 76. Like, if that guy died tomorrow, every one of us would be like, yeah, that's about right. And he's a terrible person, too. Maybe you can't be a good person and be a wrestler from the 80s.
So who lived the long, like Ozzy at 76,
yeah.
Flair still alive at 76, or Hogan at 71?
I think Hogan lived a cleaner life. Like Ric Flair and Ozzy, have you seen some of the Ozzy clips that are out there about Ozzy's drug use?
Ozzy making it to 76 is
it's
the biggest over hit of all time.
Of all time, yeah. Ozzy was telling, there's a great clip going around about Ozzy talking about how he stopped doing LSD, mainly because he took like 10 tabs of LSD and then went and talked to a horse for like 10 hours, and then the horse told him to go F himself. And Ozzy was like, well, I guess that's the end of LSD. Like, Flair and Ozzy lived a harder life. I kind of feel towards the end, like Hogan, by all accounts, never went down all of the roads that those other guys did. He did the roids. And he was just a terrible person, and he was the worst kind of racist. He told his son, who was in prison for damn near killing one of his son's best friends, Hulk Hogan told him in a jail conversation that because of this and the family problems, that karma, they were going to come back, the Hogan family was going to come back as a bunch of N-words. Like, that's what he said. And then he was upset that his daughter was dating a... N-word multiple times.
Yeah, he said, I'd rather her at least be dating an 8-foot tall N-word who makes $100 million, i.e. a basketball player, than an average N-word.
Yeah, he's just, and then this is not who I am. And it is who you are. Every time you get recorded, you're dropping like the worst things you can say.
He's on tape saying, come on, we're all a little racist, right?
I mean, but then he reinvented himself and was like, oh, go trouble, take my shirt off. And we're like, oh, we love him.
Well, he got baptized 18 months ago, too.
Yeah.
Brooke ended up marrying an NHL player.
Yeah.
A white guy.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
She won't. She's disowned the rest of the family. She won't have anything to do
with it. But did you know she married an NHL player?
I knew she got... I didn't know she married an NHL player.
She pretends to be an actress and a singer.
Well, yeah.
Anyway, enough about bad Terry Bollea.
Yeah, can we talk about Hulk Hogan? Because I loved Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, dude, Hulk Hogan, if you were to name the top 80s pop culture icons...
He's top five.
Is he?
Yeah, it's not even close.
I mean, so, if you put... Well, I'm not even saying icons as in people. I'm talking about 80s things. Like
yes.
80s yes. phenomena. Let's say... Pop culture phenomenons in the 80s, you would have, he's not bigger than Michael Jackson.
No, Michael was the biggest.
If you had to pick one, it would be Michael Jackson.
Yes.
Madonna was probably bigger than Hulkster.
Yeah.
But what's interesting about that is, I was thinking about this today, of Madonna, Michael Jackson, and Hulk at the time,
mm-hmm.
Madonna was viewed as the worst.
Yes.
Who knew Michael Jackson was a molester and Hulk Hogan was racist, and Madonna was great.
Madonna turned out to be.
You remember that?
Madonna turned out to be the best one.
I mean, we had such wool pulled over our eyes.
Yeah, because Madonna was like,
oh, she was so.
She was so taboo, and yes. She pushed sexual boundaries and pissed off the church and all that. But
how about that?
Yeah, it turns out Madonna was on the right side
of history.
I think
we all owe Madonna an apology.
Yeah.
At any rate, okay, so top 80s pop culture phenomenon. The things that I thought of today, Michael Jackson and Madonna, and I'm not sure he was bigger than either of those.
No.
I don't think he was bigger than Star Wars.
No.
I don't think he was bigger than, well, now you get into a debate. I threw out E.T.
Okay, E.T. at the peak E.T., but Hogan lasted way longer than
E.T. He had the staying power.
He had the staying power.
And then Pac-Man.
Yeah, those are pretty good. Like, let's just say this. Outside of those top couple that you named.
The top three.
The top three.
Star Wars, Michael Jackson, Madonna.
And those are in a different stratosphere. I think Hogan competes with any of those others. Like, he took an industry that no one gave a damn about, and he made it into one of the biggest things. That, I think part of my childhood was 80s wrestling. I remember in the Sullivan Arena in Anchorage, Alaska, every summer when we'd go up there and we got to go see the WWE, that was bigger than any sporting event that I went to as a kid. Like, that was the thing. I remember, like, him and Andre the Giant. I remember him. I think I cried when he lost to the Ultimate Warrior. I was like, what is happening right now? I mean, it was just, he was enormous. And the WWE, as we know it from The Rock and all of those, you know, guys that came after that had gone on to huge Hollywood stardom, and none of that exists without Hulk Hogan.
Do you think, I don't know, he didn't really have any cool moves?
No, he didn't. He was a terrible wrestler.
In fact, the leg drop was super lame.
It was super lame.
That's like his main finishing move, and it was just him jumping and landing on the back of his legs.
Yeah, that, and he wasn't particularly good looking, and he wasn't particularly, like, there. It's hard to put your finger on what actually made him so appealing.
He had some,
but he had
some sort of charisma about him, and he was larger than life,
brother.
Like, and
well, it's all his bits. Like, he had the boa,
yep.
And he had the bandana, and he had the mustache,
yep.
And he ripped off his shirt.
There was a showmanship quality to it, and the shaking.
He had the 24-inch pythons.
Yeah. But when you talk to any or when you listen to anyone, he was not a great wrestler. Everyone admits that. No one liked him, but I always say this about, like, the Kardashians, right? You can hate the Kardashians all you want, but they have something that no one else does. Like, there's a million people out there trying to do what they do, and it doesn't work. But for whatever reason, they work. And you could say that about Hogan. You hear that all the time from this person's a better wrestler, and this person, you know, had a better body, or this person this person that. And it didn't work. But with him, it worked. He was the right guy at the right time, and he raised a multi-billion-dollar industry off his own back. And like I said, when I was growing up, I can't think of many people that were bigger than Hulk Hogan. I just can't. Like, little kid me, an entire country. He was the guy.
How many bandanas do you think he owned?
Well, I got to know him a little bit because he lived in Tampa. And was why with the Buccaneers, he would come around. He would come around to games. He would come into the locker room and stuff. And so I bet you I've seen Hogan in person 12 times, 10 to 12-ish times.
Did he have a different bandana every time?
Every single time.
He had a bandana for every occasion.
Every occasion.
So when he was in court,
he wore
a bandana. He wore the black one. Was his court bandana.
He would go to award shows. He would go to award shows in a sleeveless tuxedo, tuxedo with the sleeves cut off, and a bandana.
That's the Hulkster formal
wear. That was the Hulkster formal wear. Yes.
Do you think they bury him in his finest bandana?
If they don't, shame on them.
Yeah, guns out, or I don't know.
Yeah, his guns.
His guns got to be out.
And I mean, this was 20 plus years ago. He was so leathery. So he's 71. So I caught him when he was in his 50s. He looked like he was 70 back then. He was so leathery and just, I don't. And he's not as big as you think he was.
He seemed really big.
Yeah, like they, and I think when in the 80s, at the peak of the steroids, I think he was bigger, but I think they billed him at like 6'8", you know? He was not 6'8". When you met him in person, he was a big guy, but he was not, being around NFL players, he would not have been one of the bigger guys on the team. So I think he had lost some weight and the height, you know, whether he had shrunk from all the back surgeries, you know, he kind of walked too, like, he was all like bent over a little bit. I think he was really beat up from his wrestling days. And I'll also point out that whenever he would come around, he was wearing a weight belt.
A what?
A weight belt.
Well, he was lifting.
He just, but no, like.
Yeah, no, he was.
He just wore a weight belt.
Did he use it as a back brace?
I think so. Oh. And that was the other one that I thought was a bit odd. Like, he would show up to practice, and he was just like in normal clothes, but like, not really. He was still kind of Hulk Hogan.
Did you ever watch his reality show?
Yeah. Yeah.
I saw a little bit of it,
too. Is that Hogan Knows Best or whatever?
Yeah. He was pretty normal in that.
Yeah.
Like, he just lived a normal life.
He just lived a normal life.
He had a nice house and
sleeping with his buddies' wives. And
well, now that. Okay, so this will be later in our program. Yeah. We don't have time to do it right now.
No.
Well, actually, we do, but we're not going to.
No.
Some of the greatest Terry Bollea audio comes from him being in court testifying
about his small penis.
about the case with Bubba the Love Sponge's wife.
Yeah.
And that whole thing we'll have to reset later. Yeah. But it was a big part of the post Hulk Hogan career storyline.
Sure. But the other one thing is he could walk into an NFL locker room and he still was, he would own that locker room. When he came around, it was still, it was still a big deal.
Give me something. Hulk Hogan, so what year? You probably early 2000s?
Early 2000s.
Late 90s?
Late 90s, early 2000s.
If Hulk Hogan, so he's retired.
Yeah.
Give me, at that period in time, give me any room that that guy could walk into and not command.
Yeah.
Because I don't, you're going to be hard pressed to find. I mean, maybe like, you know, like a meeting of Mensa members.
Yes. Yeah. When he came around a locker room, it was, people loved it. It's like when, remember when like Eminem came to the Lions facility for like Hard Knocks? That was Hogan, man. He would come around, he'd be in Tampa and he would come around and it was a big deal.
Maybe the MIT book club, you know, would look at it like, who's this guy?
And he would do the same thing, you know, he would do the pose, you know, and everyone would be like, oh, and they had to take pictures with him and, you know, like, what a brother.
What a
brother.
What a goober. Seriously,
people,
dude.
People ate it up, man.
Well, yeah, I mean, he was a big deal, but I just, like, it's kind of sad that he would go around and do that after he retired, right? Yeah,
dude, he committed he committed to that bit as much as anyone has ever committed to a bit.
What do you suppose he's worth?
Lots of money. That lawsuit was $100 million. Gawker.
Well, what do you suppose he's worth?
Well, he got cleaned out by the divorce, but that Gawker thing was $100 million. So I'll bet you he was worth $40-50 million.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not too impressed.
He was pretty, he got ripped apart by the divorce. She took a lot. And then that lawsuit was kind of the best thing that ever happened to him. Because he kind of lost his ability to make money once everyone found out that he's just dropping N-bombs everywhere.
Bill Cosby, Hulk Hogan, Michael Jackson, Lawrence Taylor. Is anyone from the 80s a good person? Says one of our texters.
Well, the 80s were a difficult time for
a lot of people. Well, dude, let's not blame that on the 80s.
Yeah.
I think you should take that as a lesson that many of your heroes, no matter what decade you're talking about, aren't good people.
Yeah, but can I also say that I think it was a lot easier to be a horrible person and hide it
back then. Yeah, now you get canceled.
Yeah, well, and you get found out.
And everything gets recorded. Like, you don't say anything or do anything without a camera or a microphone on.
Hulk Hogan had been calling people racial slurs probably for 40 years. And then he was like, damn it, I'm being recorded. And they're like, yeah, Hulk. It's like, oh, the moment we start recording you, we find it out. It's like, oh, I've never said that before. Nah, I think you have.
Well, you'll be seeing me tomorrow roll in with a weight belt on as I ride my new saddled hyena. It's my new brand.
Let's go.
Rest in peace, I guess.
Yeah.
Hulk Hogan.
Yes. Not Terry.
Terry Bollea.
Can get bent.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Isachi. 71 years old. More on this later with some fun audio. But up next, Save College Sports is here. What does it mean? Here's Buck on 105.1. The Fan.
Hey, it's Morgan Absher.
And I'm Kaylin Moore.
And we're the hosts of the Crime House original podcast, Clues.
Every Wednesday, we sneak past the crime scene tape and open a new case file for some of the most gripping true crime cases.
Follow and listen to Clues, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan text line 503-864-6326. Deal asks, maybe Suk will be able to rip his shirt off in honor of the Hulkster.
Can I call out Brandon J. Sprague for a minute, who got caught doing a Mike Gundy today in the most pathetic way possible?
Oh, no.
Well, you know my Mike Gundy theory.
Well, no, I actually don't.
You do. It's the Mike Gundy, I want to take my shirt off, but I don't want to admit that I want to take my shirt off.
I'm 40.
Gundy always wants to take his shirt
off. Oh, yeah. Gundy lost a bunch of weight recently, so Gundy's always doing the, I'll lose a bet, and if I do, I'll take my shirt off. Just Google Gundy shirt off. That dude's master of, I guess I have to now. And Sprague did that. Sprague was like, maybe we should rip our shirts off for in honor of Hulk Hogan. Oh, that'd be crazy if we did. All right, we'll put it to a vote. If you want me to take my shirt off, then I'll take my shirt off. And then at the end, he rips his shirt off and is like, finally, I get to be shirtless. Dude, that's the most Mike Gundy thing ever, Sprague. Just admit you want to rip your shirt off.
Also, it didn't go very well initially.
I was going to say, wait a minute.
Have you seen the video?
Yeah, he couldn't do it.
No,
it's on our socials.
Okay, I got to go look.
And if you notice, when Hulk did that, his T-shirt was always cut already. So they already had
the tear. That's what I was about to say. It's like, I don't think you can that easily rip a T-shirt.
He's in a crew neck, and he tries for like 20 seconds, and he cannot rip it. So then he grabs the scissors that are in front of you, cuts it, and then does it. Yeah. It's all on our social at 105.1.
But come on, Sprague. Don't pull a Gundy and do the, okay, we vote, and if everyone votes, I guess I'll take my shirt off. Stop it. For Pete's sakes.
Okay, is it...
Guy's just looking for an excuse to take off and show that pasty skin. Let's
go. Here we go. You've already commented on it, I see. Boy, yeah. Just calling people out.
Well, just... Don't pull a Mike Gundy and pretend, and then be all coy about it. Like, you're playing hard to get, I couldn't possibly. Well, maybe I could if there was enough that wanted me to.
Because Hulk died, we got that news this morning, right?
Yeah, I woke up and was like, what? Hogan died.
So is he just, like, did he have that shirt?
It happened while they were...
They're on the air till
10
o'clock
now. Yeah,
that
was his shirt.
I know, but he doesn't have another shirt. So
no.
I see here he ripped it off. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. Yeah, I can't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's sad. You pulled the mic gun.
It's also really bad that you have to then cut it before you.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like when you try to break your bat over your knee and you fail to do it multiple
times.
That's
a good comparison.
Now, I've never attempted to rip a shirt off like that.
I can't imagine that's easy.
I don't know.
But like you said, he had to pull out the scissors. That's why Hulk's shirts
were always pre-cut.
Always pre-cut. Yeah. Like, it was easy for him to rip those. Yeah.
Well, I'm wearing a Hawaiian shirt. One, I'm not going to rip my shirt off because I'm not Brandon Sprague. But I don't know. I don't know. I've never attempted
to. Well, you could rip that one off easy because
that's a Hawaiian shirt.
The buttons would just pop.
Yeah. If there's a crappy T-shirt somewhere in the station, I could attempt it. But I'm assuming that ripping the collar off of a shirt would probably be problematic. Sprague flails miserably. It doesn't go well.
All right. Wow. I didn't see that one coming.
Yeah. He got Gundied. I just...
Up next.
I couldn't possibly. Oh, wait. I guess I could.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
Our fearless leader has entered the chat about college sports.
Yeah.
Let's get to that. Coming up next on The Fan.
It's called sports.
Hey, it's Morgan Abscher.
And I'm Kaylin Moore.
And we're the hosts of the Crime House original podcast, Clues.
Every Wednesday, we sneak past the crime scene tape and open a new case file for some of the most gripping true crime cases.
Follow and listen to Clues, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, most sports radio stations do not have a high T alarm, but we do, and it just went off because it is blaring. Because Sukanik had to go find a T-shirt.
Yeah, we had some old weird country promotion T-shirt laying around in the back.
Yeah, he had to go find a T-shirt and see how easy or difficult it would be to rip off.
Well, I saw Sprague's
hot body.
I saw Sprague struggling with it, and I thought maybe that's harder than you think. Ripping
it would kill the lesser man,
the neckline out of a T-shirt. So I was like, oh, I make fun of him.
In one of our, I mean, this is classic us.
Yeah,
we do content every day, but we never. Well, we just don't disseminate like.
Yeah.
So he already did it. I don't know why you didn't wait.
It's just us being us, but like we need to.
Wanted to see if.
I know, like, but so would a thousand other people.
Now we're going to talk about it. Everybody's like, well, where's the video? So go.
We're going to find another shirt in the break.
Yeah, we're going to find another T-shirt. But he did it, and he did it rather easily.
I think there's one at my desk.
And it's getting a little high T in here. Yeah, see, there's the remnants of the of the shirt that he ripped off his hot body.
And it was a...
Now, I will say, he did put it over his Hawaiian shirt.
It's a Gildan heavy cotton. Well, I'll tell you right now, dude, my douche level will not go high enough for
it's,
me to...
It's getting pretty high.
Well, that's fine.
But I do give you credit for not taking off your Hawaiian shirt.
We're not... I'm not ripping a t-shirt off to be bare-chested and then just be like, oh,
well, yeah, because you just made fun of a guy for doing that.
Exactly.
Like, that would be classic.
Thank
you.
It's not happening.
If you did the exact, look, that guy, what a douche, but look at me. It's a real man doing it. God.
No. I just wanted to see him. I wanted to see how easy it was to rip a t-shirt off. And quite frankly, I was giving
balls. Yeah.
So now we're going to make more fun of Sprague because
well, I was giving,
it wasn't easy. Yes, or I mean, it wasn't hard.
I was giving Sprague the benefit of the doubt that maybe that's harder than you think. Turns out, no, it is not hard. It is actually quite easy. So, and don't rip your shirt off, for God's sakes.
I have a t-shirt on. Should I do it? I kind of like this shirt. I'm not ripping a t-shirt.
Make sure you cut it first.
Well, anyway.
Now my tea's raging.
Yeah, your tea is raging.
Yeah, let's go. I'm going to go out and get myself a truck after this.
On that note.
Yeah, trucks, balls,
I think my EV just turned into a diesel just off of that. I'm going to go out there and get my little EV, and next thing you know, I'm going to be rolling coal. That's
America, yeah!
And a flag just, like, magically, like, appeared out of the ass of my car. It's now got an American flag on it, and it's a diesel.
Yeah, flag!
Screw this EV crap.
Well,
it's called sports. The learned people, no!
It is called sports, and President Donald J. Trump has entered the chat.
Which I don't really know what he entered the chat with, but it's something.
Well, I'm going to tell you. Here's what he did.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is real. he has officially signed... an executive order on NIL for college sports. He has titled it, and this is Buck's favorite part.
Yeah.
It's the best part.
He has titled it President Donald J. Trump Saves College Sports.
Yeah. Even though the executive order doesn't really do anything.
And it doesn't need saving.
I love Tesla.
It's just so remarkably self-congratulatory. I love it.
So here's what it does. It bans third-party pay-for-play deals that have turned NIL into a free-for-all.
But that's already been banned. There's just no way to enforce it. And it doesn't say anything about how it's going to be enforced or who's going to enforce it.
So is it just a PR thing?
Well, it's a law. I mean,
but it's not a law.
It's not a law. It's an executive order, meaning you're not supposed to do it. But
we already knew that it wasn't supposed to do it.
So it is just a PR thing.
It protects scholarships and women's Olympic sports from being gutted by booster money arms races.
But that, again...
That's very vague.
That's just word salad.
All of this is word salad.
It directs federal agencies to step in and preserve what makes college sports college. Again, very vague.
And what generic. And what agencies?
All of them. All of the agencies. Okay. Sucanic. It promotes revenue sharing that doesn't destroy parity or wipe out non-revenue programs. And it cracks down on donor-backed roster building that's turned college football into a $50 million yearly auction.
But what does it do to crack down on it? It just he basically says, this is what I want, and I want these broad things, but I'm not going to tell you how to do them. And there's no laws that this, and it doesn't grant anyone antitrust protection. It just doesn't make any, I guess it provides a framework of what he would like to be done.
I have concepts of a plan.
And there's a bill that's going through the House right now that's not going to make its way through the Senate that would actually be a law. So to say that this protects women Title IX, those are all great things, but how does it protect Title IX? You can't go to a court of law and be like, well, the president said, I want Title IX protected. This doesn't make any sense. I've read through this. I've tried to listen to people that are fairly smart that have been following this. And while this is what the NCAA has been waiting for government to chime in, even Charlie Baker, who's the president of the NCAA, kind of gave a vague statement about how he's happy that they're getting support. But on a day-to-day basis, what this changes, I don't know.
You do it anymore, you're going to have problems.
Trump's team calls out how NIL chaos, unlimited transfers, and booster deals have turned college sports into a professional pay-to-play model and says it's time to restore order before non-revenue and Olympic sports disappear completely. I also want to point out because most of, well, I'm going to filter my commentary. Okay.
Yeah.
I just want to point out there is a college sports scribe on X who pointed, who put a list out, and he said that Donald Trump's executive order saving college sports has separate guidelines for athletic departments that report more than $125 million in revenue. So do you know how many schools, at least public, report more than $125 million in revenue?
I don't know.
43.
Okay.
In other words, and Oregon is one of them, by the way.
Yeah.
Oregon State is not. The bottom one is Iowa State at $122 million, top being Texas, $332 million.
Yeah.
Oregon's kind of right in the middle at $169 million. At any rate, it kind of seems to me, if we're going to look at this anything other than a PR, you know, bloviation, he's aiming at trying to protect lesser sports and Olympic sports.
Sure.
Right? Like, but this isn't about much other than that.
I just don't understand. Someone needs to explain to me what this does to do any of those things. I get what he's saying, and I don't even necessarily disagree with what he's saying. But you can't just be like, I want this, therefore I just wrote it down, and now you have to do it. Like, this isn't NOM, Donnie. There's rules.
I think he thinks that's what an executive order is.
Yeah, no, I think that's right.
I think we're going to stop.
Yeah, I'm just...
Here we go.
I'm confused. So again, you say that this eliminates pay-for-play, which was already something that the NIL was supposed to do. You tried to eliminate collectives immediately, and Kessler and the attorneys threatened you to sue you, and you were like, okay, now we're going to back off. And so you can have collectives, but it has to be legitimate. So when you say fair market value, again, I ask, what's fair market value? Who decides what's fair market value and what's a legitimate NIL and what's not? And what this doesn't lay out is, if you do decide that a deal is pay for play and that it's not real NIL, who makes that determination, and what sort of punishments if someone violates that?
Again, this all gives me immense blue screen brain, and I don't really care. I just, wake me up when they figure it all out, okay?
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. Just shake me.
I would just say,
I wake up pretty easy.
To anyone capping what someone can earn, that's illegal.
And it's anti-capitalist.
So, I don't know.
I don't know either.
I was confused, but they want government intervention, but this isn't the government intervention that is going to save college sports. The bill that's trying to go through right now, that Ted Cruz has been working on, that could actually do something. But again, that's a long way from getting passed, and it sounds like everything
I'm hearing... I don't know if they have the votes for that.
Well, they'll probably have it in the House. They're not going to have it in the Senate, which you need to have. So... as of right now, this does appear to be a non-starter. So we knew that he was tinkering with the idea of this executive order. But again, outside of some framework that was kind of already there and saying that you have my support and backing, I guess if a real law comes across, I don't know on a day-to-day basis if this, and maybe as this goes further on, this will change. From my understanding, I haven't seen anyone that thinks that this actually changes any day-to-day operation for right now.
All right, up next, if anyone would know violent driving, it's probably a Georgia football recruit.
Yes.
Don't you think?
Yeah, 100%.
I'd like to talk about Message Board Genius.
Ooh, let's do it.
Have you seen that? Do you know Message Board Genius?
No, I don't know Message
Board. Good account.
No.
Great account. You want to talk about top X accounts?
Yeah. Good stuff.
It's fantastic. Okay. We'll get to that next on 105.1 The Fan.
Hey, it's Morgan Abscher.
And I'm Kaylin Moore.
And we're the hosts of the Crime House original podcast, Clues.
Every Wednesday, we sneak past the crime scene tape and open a new case file for some of the most gripping true crime cases.
Follow and listen to Clues, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.